Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek. Oh, darn, I'm not on the ball, actually. From Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 30th, 2010, episode 22. This one's sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
For about the 10th time at their Christmas show, Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Woohoo! I've been listening to TSO. What's that?
I said, I can't tell you're excited about going to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra at all, Glenn. I had no idea.
No, I hate it. It's absolutely the worst concert in the world. Nobody should go see it but us. We started going years ago, and we've been back every year since. You know that the Trans-Siberian Orchestra has sold more than 7 million albums and that they have sold $300 million worth of tickets and have played to more than 7 million people in 80 cities over the past decade. And we probably account for at least 20 of those tickets. So it's just the best concert ever in history. TSO is by far the best. Sorry, I just had to. You're going to be hearing TSO tomorrow morning too. Sorry, Jamie.
Let me figure this out a little bit, because I've never heard them. I've only heard their music during, you know, the holiday time when it's played on the radio in the mall when you're shopping at the Gap. So, tell me a little bit about Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Is it's an orchestra, right? Are there singers? Is it just music? What do you do?
Oh no, it's not your grandma's orchestra. By far. They spend $1 million every 4 weeks on the road with pyrotechnics. This
really?
Is the loudest, this is the loudest, most lasers, most firework concert that you're ever going to see. And they have a core group that travels, actually I have two core groups that travel to different parts of the country. And the singers and the head, the guitar players and those guys travel. But then the orchestra part are actually local musicians in every city they go to. So they come in, they learn the music, and they actually play with this core group that does the traveling. It's an unbelievably loud show, too. It is loud because Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you've heard their music, it's loud. And
Yeah. It
is incredible to see it with the lasers and the smoke and the lights and just the show is the most incredible concert I've seen, and I've seen a lot of concerts. So that's why we go back every year. We make the mistake the first year we went, Jamie, of sitting in the second row from the stage.
Oh my gosh, you're deaf the next day.
Jennifer wears earplugs. And I guarantee you, we're going Wednesday night, I guarantee you on Thursday morning, I'm going to be going, what? What'd you say, Jamie? There'll be a lot of that.
Crank your headphones up, Glenn.
Yes, exactly.
So the best concert you've ever been to, because...
Oh, by far,
I mean,
hands down.
I'm sorry. There is no better concert than going to see U2 or, and I am happy to say that I love going to see Jon Bon Jovi live. It is the greatest show ever. U2 and Bon Jovi, oh my gosh, if they get toured together, I would follow them like, you know, a Grateful Dead follower. So TSO, you're saying, is better than U2 and Bon Jovi.
Well, you know what? It is. I think it is. You know, do they spend $1 million in pyrotechnics at a Bon Jovi concert?
Probably not, no. But, man, they
bought,
okay?
You
bought
my chops yesterday.
Ricky Sanfora on the guitar? I mean, come on, Glenn.
You busted my chops yesterday for my choice of music. There were a couple people that supported me on Facebook. Did you notice that? That liked my choice of music yesterday, the oldie?
Uh-huh. We appreciate all two of them emailing in, so very nice.
Hey, we have callers already this morning. We better get on with the show. This is the last day to call in and win the big prizes, and we're going to be making the selection tomorrow. We'll have somebody from World Equestrian Brands with us tomorrow, as well as somebody from Equestrian Collections to help us choose the winner. So what do they have an opportunity for the last time to win today, Jamie?
Well, Equestrian Collections has been kind enough to give a caller a $500 holiday shopping spree from EquestrianCollections.com. So $500, spend it. You know, I would say just spend it on yourself. Holidays are all about buying stuff for other people. If you win this, buy something for yourself and send something to me. The other thing is World Equestrian Brands has offered your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins $600 value. So that's World Equestrian Brands. Of course, yesterday's winner, we're just prize crazy over here at Horses in the Morning. Yesterday's winner was a pair of World Equestrian Brands Stretch Flex bandages worth $90. And that was Regina from New Jersey. So congratulations, Regina from New Jersey. You've got some Stretch Flex bandages. And then, of course, we've got a prize today. This is easy, and I think we actually have somebody on the line. The first caller today is going to get a World Equestrian Games T-shirt. So all you have to do is call in and win, and it's like prize crazy here.
All right, good. And, you know, as she said, the first caller to call in and win won a World Equestrian Games T-shirt. I think we already have the first caller. So let's take Karen. Hi, Karen. You're on the air. Welcome to the Horses in the Morning show.
Thank you. How are you?
We're great. So how are you this morning, and what's happening in your world?
I'm doing okay. I actually called in not knowing there was a contest. I called in because I wanted to talk about a little bit about my sister's foundation. She was an equine veterinarian as well as an avid horsewoman, and just lost a 3-year battle with leukemia. And I just wanted to tell folks about her foundation, which will give scholarships to veterinary students as well as research and comfort kits to leukemia patients.
All right, what's the website that you're promoting?
Okay, it's Rhodes 6 Foundation, R-H-O-A-D-S 6 Foundation.com.
Well, listen, we're unbelievably terribly sorry about your loss. If you could email us that information, we'd be happy to post it on our website for you, okay?
Okay, it's also on Facebook.
Okay.
But I will be happy
to...
What's your email?
It's Jamie at horseradionetworks.com. Yeah, and just go ahead and email it to me, and we'll get it up there for you. And we're terribly sorry about your loss.
Okay, can I just get that one more time? Jamie at
horseradionetworks.com.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
And
all right, and we'll get that information, and we'll post it on our Facebook page too.
Yeah.
We also have Holly calling in, who I think is calling in to support me. Hi, Holly. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
Okay, so you're calling in to support me, right?
Yes, I am, but I'm also here to ask for Mannheim Steamroller.
Oh, you know.
She's got a request. She's got a request.
Now, do you, Jamie, you have to like Mannheim Steamroller, or don't you even know who they are?
You know, I kind of thought that they were the same thing, so. Aren't they a big orchestra?
Okay,
that plays
Holly.
No, they're not the same.
Okay, are they an orchestra, and do they play Christmas music?
Yes.
Okay,
they have synthesized.
Yeah, it's much different. Actually, it's a little more mellow than Trans-Siberian Orchestra, wouldn't you say,
what?
Holly?
That's like saying John Bon Jovi and Kiss are the same.
That is definitely not true. Okay.
All right, so I will take your request. Listen later in the week, and I'll definitely have a little of that for you later in the week. I actually did start listening to them long before I knew about TSL. So we have their CDs right here, and I'm sure Jamie will be happy to hear that.
Awesome.
Hey, Holly, thank you so much for calling in and requesting music that we legally are not allowed to play. So we appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, hold
All right,
on
Holly,
a second.
Keep
okay, we're going to get your information for the prize.
Okay, thank you.
Just hang on.
Bye-bye.
Sure. Okay, so now we're getting song requests. Nice.
Yeah, well,
nice.
You know what? I think that I love these people who support me. Thank you very much. If anybody
else would like
to call in with...
Go ahead.
I'm not letting you today.
Well, I just think that, you know, first of all, your wife is the call screener, and then you're the one who takes the calls on the air, so I just don't think it's fair that the odds are in your favor for good callers. So listen, 347-637-3238. You can call and talk about anything you want, including, you know, better music than Glenn listens to.
We have over the weekend, we have a follow-up on a previous guest that we had on the show a couple times, and that's Kathleen from Kathleen's Wild Ride. Some of you may have heard a little bit of an interview that I did over the weekend, and we want to play that here for you this morning. Kathleen actually finished her cross-country adventure. She started out in Oregon 6 months ago, and she finished at Liberty Park in New Jersey. Now, for those of you that were worried about her going into New York City like I was, the police were very nice, very accommodating, but they just thought that going into New York City on Black Friday, Thanksgiving weekend, was a bad idea. So,
yeah, good call.
So they discouraged her from doing that, and she was just as happy to end at Liberty Park with the Statue of Liberty, overlooking the Statue of Liberty, and we have a picture of her, and we'll put in our show notes to that effect. And I got to do an interview with her right when she was at Liberty Park and finished with her ride, and I would love for everybody to hear that. This is a brave woman, took her 6 months by herself with two Appaloosas crossing the country, really practically no money and no plan. She just rode from day to day out of the graciousness of people's hearts. They took her in. They would let her stay in their houses, or she was allowed to camp in their backyards. The horses were in horse pastures most nights. But she had a couple harrowing moments along the way, too, and we'll talk about those in this interview as well. So here is the interview that I managed to do with Kathleen and her friend Mary, who helped put all this together. This was Kathleen's Wild Ride, and she finished on Saturday. So here's Kathleen. Well, hi, Kathleen, and congratulations.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks.
I want before we get started into your final sort of interview, final day of officially the Kathleen's Wild Ride, I have a special co-host that I didn't tell you about, and your good friend and the person who has helped you entirely along this way, and probably you couldn't have done it without her and Jay, is Mary's on the phone, Mary Bengel.
Hey, Kathleen, we're so proud of you. Kathleen Dodds, what are you doing over there in New Jersey?
I decided to live here. I'm staying.
Oh, we were wondering. Everybody loves you over there. It's time to come home.
Sounds like they want their trainer back, Kathleen.
Yeah. We're all going around in circles. We don't know what to do anymore.
They've been knocking jumps over for 6 months.
That's right. Nobody's raised a jump since 2 feet since she left since 2 weeks ago.
Kathleen, so this is you were just at Liberty Park, right? You actually trailered the horses over there so you didn't have to ride through the beautiful town of Hoboken, New Jersey.
Yes, two very kind people, Meta and Claudia, hauled us over to Liberty Park and took lots and lots of pictures.
Yeah, and we're going to post one of those on Facebook today and also on the show notes for this special episode that we're putting out. The way I calculated, Kathleen, you're probably a little over 3,000 miles that you've done, and how many days did we determine that?
Well, we left May 14th, and I have no idea what today is, but it's about just under 2.5 weeks.
Okay, so June, July, August, September, October, November. I have to do it on my fingers. So we're a little over 6 months.
Yep. 6 months is on the 14th, so it's just under 6.5 months.
And when you left, were you thinking 6 months?
No, actually, I was thinking 4, but, you know, hey.
You had a few stops along the way there.
Oh, yeah.
So are you – tell us how you're feeling right now.
Actually, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm incredibly tired. I'm probably almost as tired as Mary is, but luckily for me, I'm not sick.
I think you're way more tired than I am. I just didn't travel across the country on a horse, but thank you for saying that.
It has been an amazing trip. This has just been such a life-fulfilling journey for me, and it's just been unbelievable the entire way.
I think that, you know, when we first talked before you left, I kept saying it over and over again, it's the people you meet that are going to make this trip the trip that it will end up being, and I think you found that to be true.
Yes, I did, Glenn. You were right.
Well, I still have belief in America, and I think that, you know, except what you had, what, one person in the entire 3,000 miles, 6 months, turn you away?
Well, actually, yeah, I had one person say no. Actually, in New Jersey, I had a couple others, but that's okay. It's just people who'd like surprise when I showed up at their farm, asked if I could stay there. But no, it's just one person at point blank said no.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
It is pretty incredible.
Now, are you still working on the book? You still writing away?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm still working on the book. I'll be working on the book probably for another month or so to finish it and get it rewritten and everything and then go try to find a publisher for it.
Well, you have to let me know when you get to that point, too, because we know a few people that have us review their books all the time. So
cool.
We'll have to try and help you out on that. So the plan now is we have to get the horses back. That's where Mary comes in, right?
Oh, yes. Mary is the queen of organization on this trip, and she has been organizing a trailer relay for us, and we have empty legs that we need to fill so that the girls and I can get home.
Yeah. Apparently, I have a new job as an equine travel agent. I don't know if there is such a thing, but I think we're starting one now.
Hey, Mary, I think it pays as well as your last one did.
Oh, good. Well, then I'll be used to the standard of living, the quality of life. Perfect.
Tell us, actually
pretty fun.
Tell us what you're needing and what you're doing and you know, how that's all going to work.
Well, at this point, Ohio, funny enough, is taken care of. It's funny how certain states have popped up immediately.
Well, Mary, hold on 1 second. Start from the beginning. What are we trying to accomplish for those don't know?
Okay, what we're trying to accomplish is trailering Kathleen in the mayor's home, starting from Green Village, New Jersey, is where she's been staying with Mayor Ann Richard, who's hosted her for a few days. So we've got to get her out of Green Village, New Jersey, hopefully this weekend or as soon as possible. That's the first thing. And we don't have anybody for that trip. And as far as anybody can drive is great. You know, the driver comes first, whatever's convenient for them and as far as they can go. And then we'll just relay from there. And if people can communicate with me over Facebook to start in a general basis, and then we'll get more specific privately you know, Facebook messaging and then to my email, and then we can, you know, give contact phone numbers and so forth and get real specific about what worked and then transfer them to the next leg and to the next leg and communicate that way. But we need people from New Jersey to Pennsylvania, and then we've got folks set up in Idaho. We have a couple folks, in Ohio, and some people who are kind of online in Indiana. And that's about where we're at so far.
Okay. So if anybody can help with that, the best way is to?
Contact me over Facebook. Just write on Kathleen's Wild Ride that you're able to help, and then I will get onto your profile, you know, from your message, and send you a message, and it'll probably say, "Help from Katie's Wild Ride," and then just answer through there. It'll be
okay.
Perfect.
Okay, and if somebody doesn't have Facebook, they can write to me at glenn@horseradionetwork.com, and I'll forward it on to Mary. So that's
perfect.
Not a problem at all. Kathleen, how are the horses?
They're actually doing pretty good. I think they're kind of hoping that they can stay with Matter and Richard for a while since they keep feeding them constantly.
They're probably gaining weight now that they've stopped here New Jersey. Well, and your hosts currently, it's Richard and what's the other name?
Mary.
Okay. Apparently they've been good hosts. You spent Thanksgiving with them, right?
Yeah. They've been excellent hosts. They are actually taking advantage of my stay by having a lot of things that they don't normally have, like ice cream and pie.
So you did get to eat a Thanksgiving dinner then?
Actually, no, I didn't, because they had already had plans, and they, unfortunately, they were going, they couldn't take me along with them, so I got to spend a nice quiet Thanksgiving by myself and eat almost a half a pumpkin pie.
No bacon cheeseburgers on Thanksgiving for you. Well, you know, it wouldn't be right, and our fans here on Stable Scoop would be upset if I didn't ask, what was the final verdict on bacon cheeseburgers? Where was the best one in the country?
Oh, man, I can't remember where it was. Mary, you might know better than I do, because it was the last time I posted it on Facebook page.
We'd have to go back and look. It had to have been in the Midwest.
I thought there was one in Ohio, right before I met you, if I remember right.
It was at the, I want to say the L.A. Diner.
Yes, that's what it was. Good memory there, girlfriend. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was the L.A. Diner in Akron, Ohio.
Canton,
Ohio. You're right. We're going to write that down, and we're going to make sure that we're going to make sure that they know that they won the award.
Yeah, you have to stop there on the trip home.
There you go. Yeah.
So, Kathleen, you know, are you ready to sleep in your own bed?
Oh, gosh, yes. I am very ready to sleep in my own bed.
What's been the most difficult part of this trip, would you say?
For me, the most difficult part has always been I worry about the horses all the time. I mean, it's just I'm always worried about their safety and their health and whether they're going to get enough to eat or the train's going to be too hard on them. So that's always been the hardest part is worrying about those horses.
And, you know, that just makes you a true horse person. What's been the scariest part of the trip?
Well, in all honesty, the scariest part for me actually has been coming towards the end because we haven't gotten everything nailed down for how we're getting home.
Right. But then again, Kathleen, if you think about it, you haven't worried about that the last 6 months where you were going to sleep in the next town and it all worked out. So it's probably going to work out here, too.
Well, and I think it will, too. I think, everybody has been so amazing on this entire trip, and people have been so excited and willing to help that I think that the entire trip home will just be another continuation of the ride. I mean, we're going to blog about it and Facebook about it the whole way home.
And that'll be another chapter in the book.
Yep, it'll be the final chapter in the book, The Return Home.
Now,
before I actually learn everybody's names and remember them, because, you know, we all know how great I am about names.
So what was there ever a point in the trip at any time that you were truly scared for any reason, that you went, this is dangerous, I'm scared here?
That was the electrical storm coming out of Little America in Wyoming when we had all those lightning strikes all around us in the desert, and then a stretch of road into Logansport, Indiana. There was absolutely no shoulder, and the people in Indiana weren't even moving over for us at all when they were passing us about 65 miles an hour on the highway with about three or four
Geez, okay, Indiana. Now we're officially declaring you ruder than New Jersey. So there you go.
I have to say that New Jersey drivers have been wonderful about passing us.
I read your blog. I read your blog the other day. The only people in New Jersey that seemed to give you any crap were the police.
But not the mounted police.
No, it was only, you know, a couple police in one township, so everybody else has been wonderful.
I think they wanted your horses for some reason.
I guess. I don't want to know what the reason was.
Well, I think that you did it. And, you know, I said on the Facebook this morning, I made a comment on there that Helene and I, sometimes we would just shake our heads. And, you know, we called you nuts a few times. And you know what? You still trudged on. You got this done, girl.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, anybody that has known me for a long time would have smiled and said, oh, no, still finished. That's what I do.
Mary, what do you want to ask? Do you want to ask Kathleen anything on the air here or say anything?
I don't know if I want to ask her anything, but I agree with you. I think we all knew she was crazy, but we knew she would finish it at the same time. Yeah, sometimes it takes crazy people to get wonderful things done. So it's been fabulous. We're really glad she did it.
And you're glad she's done.
Yeah, I suppose. But at the same time, like everybody else who's been following her, I'm sad it's over.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we get to Facebook the whole trip home. I mean, it's been fantastic. And watching everybody and their comments every day has been so fun to get on the Facebook page and see the new fans and what they've had to say and how it's enlightened everybody else's lives. That's been the best part for Jay and I. It's just been wonderful. It's been wonderful. And thank you, Glenn and Helena.
Well, no problem. And thank you for writing to us many months ago about this crazy woman who was going to take a trip.
You're very welcome. I'm glad Jay did it.
And Kathleen, thank you. We're going to catch up with you once you get home and when we have more time. We talked about devoting an entire Stable Scoop hour with you, and we'll just sit and chat when you're in the comfy of a warm house someplace over there in Oregon, and we'll just chat about. And then when your book comes out, we'll have to have you back on again, of course.
Oh, of course.
Well, best of luck, Kathleen, on the journey home. We'll keep in touch as we do on Facebook. Everybody can follow Kathleen's Wild Ride. If you can help with transportation on the way home for any distance, whether it's 10 miles or 1,000 miles, post it on Facebook at Kathleen's Wild Ride, or drop me an email at glenn2ns@horseradionetwork.com. Congratulations.
Go for the 1,000 miles.
What's that?
Go for the 1,000 miles, people. Go for the 1,000 miles.
Yeah, I think the horses would prefer that, too. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, Mary. And congratulations there, girl.
Thanks, Glenn. Thank you, Mary. Big hug.
You're welcome, honey.
You are listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Pfizer Animal Health. And just want to tell you, our sponsor this half hour is Pfizer, and daily deworming makes a difference you can see. Feed Pfizer Animal Health Strongid C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strongid C2X is designed for daily administration to horses and foals, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. Learn more at PfizerAH.com. Well, Glenn, that was a really cool interview. I cannot believe that Kathleen actually finished.
I know. She did the whole thing. It was amazing. And she just trudged on day after day. You know, she walked almost the whole way. I don't think she trotted much on this trip. So we're talking a little over 3,000 miles she went on horseback. Some days better than others, let me tell you. She had her struggles along the way, and you'll find all of that in her book, I'm sure. She's a trooper, and, you know, we called her crazy many times. So,
oh, yeah.
And that's why, actually, her blog name is You Might Think I'm Crazy, but that's her blog name, and she got that because we were calling her crazy. So, congratulations,
great.
Kathleen. You did it.
Hey, you know what? I think what she should do is try to meet up with Zenyatta, because Zenyatta has a way to travel across the country really, really quickly.
she gets
on a plane and goes all the way across. I wanted to mention this before we get to our next guest, that the Lanes End Farm announced yesterday that Jerry and Ann Moss's Zenyatta is going to make an appearance at Keeneland when she arrives on December 6th. So, Glenn, you and Jennifer have to go. She's going to be arriving at Keeneland just about 3:45, 4 o'clock, and she will be paraded around the paddock around 4:15. So the public is invited to see her and greet her and send her off to Lane's End as she goes to
It on my calendar right now, Jamie. I'm putting it on my calendar. I'm going to bring my little flip video camera along, and we'll bring the camera and take some pictures, and we'll do a little video, and we'll put it on Facebook of Zenyatta. Too bad you can't be here. This would be like heaven for you.
Oh, I know. I'm actually thinking about booking a plane ticket. That'd be awesome. No, but I think I'm going to come for Rolex in April, and I'm going to try to squeeze in a farm visit then. So,
That's a good idea.
Definitely.
We have plans,
definitely,
too, that we're making. We haven't announced yet, but let's just say we're making plans for this show for Rolex, that the Horses in the Morning show will be part of the Rolex coverage here at the Horse Radio Network. So some exciting stuff
coming
up. Wait a
second. Are you telling
me
that I might actually be able to write off a business trip to Rolex?
Yes, that is correct. That's what I'm telling you. And to have a little fun, too, while you're here. So
I never thought I'd see the day I'd write off a trip to Rolex. Woohoo! I made it! That's the greatest thing ever.
You remember a while back, I forget which show it was, you correlated a particular breed of dog to a particular horse.
I think we could do
that for our next guest, couldn't we?
I think so. Nice segue, Glenn, because you're exactly right. I think we compared the Cleveland Bay to kind of the Basset Hound of the horse world. And she actually wasn't offended. And then this breed of horse, Glenn, the Nabstrupper, is kind of the Dalmatian of the horse world, if you will. Incredibly athletic and spotted. So Rebecca Pennington is on the phone from the Nabstrupper Association. And much like we did the Friesians last week, Breed Day continues today. And we're going to learn about the Nabstrupper. And you're saying, what is she saying? Rebecca, tell us, what is a Nabstrupper?
Well, good morning. A Nabstrupper, and by the way, let me tell you, there's two different ways to pronounce it because people are always asking me that. You can call them a Nabstrupper, like a doorknob and stormtrooper together, Nabstrupper, but you can also call them Knabstrupper. So both ways are correct, and so if you hear me say them interchangeably, just forgive me. But it's a breed of horse.
Nabstrupper.
Knobstrooper.
I'm just practicing here. Knobstrooper. I like that way better.
Knob.
If you can hear the Danish say it, I cannot reproduce it. The Americans just cannot produce. They swallow the K sound as they say it, and it's just impossible for us. But they're a wonderful breed of horse from Denmark. They're considered a warm blood, like the Hanoverians and the Oldenburgs and the Holsteiners, but they're spotted like the American Appaloosa. There are three different kinds of them, so you can't really say what's a typical Knobstrupper. The most commonly bred ones these days are the sport horse type that are bred like the Hanoverians and Oldenburgs for show jumping and dressage. But they also still have a Baroque type that's used more like a carriage horse or circus horse.
I can't get over the Knobstrupper. That doesn't sound like it should be right.
It's a big, long name, isn't it?
Yes, it is, for a strong horse. And I think that, you know, I was looking through the pictures on your website, and you're right. It's three dramatically different kinds of horse in looks, because, I mean, obviously the color patterns are very, very different. But you've got the Baroque horse, which is like almost that big neck of the Andalusian and the big solid chests and big rear ends, and they're very Baroque looking, I mean Spanish looking. And then you've got the ponies too, which I noticed. And then it's almost like you have a POA pony in the same breed of horse as that, the warm blood variety or the Baroque variety. I think it's very cool.
Well, the breeders in Denmark, it's a small country and a small number of breeders, and they're sort of just loosely aligned. I don't believe to this day they even have an office for the Knabstrupper Registry. But those breeders over there, like American breeders, can be very strong-willed and opinionated, and all of them like a different look in their horse. And how it's ended up over the years is three completely different types. But it actually means there's a type for anybody.
So does that mean that there's a type of riding that are sport that they're better at, or do you recommend anything?
Well, the sport horse type, which is the most commonly bred now, can really stand on its own right along any other warm blood in the world. In fact, we just proved that a few weeks ago when one of our breeders here in the United States sent her Knabstrupper stallion, Colorado Skrolfstrup. She sent him through the 70-day stallion testing that's done for the more traditional warm bloods to prove mm-hmm. that they could compete right alongside them, and he ended up third in jumping and fifth in dressage and fifth overall in the whole group.
Wow.
So they're wonderful horses. They've got – all of them can jump. I mean, I've never heard of a Knabstrupper. I don't care if he's a Baroque type or a sport horse type or a pony that can't jump. They seem to just be born with it and love it. How far they go in dressage will depend on how they're bred. So the more sport horse types are going to have the better ability to go far in dressage over the more Baroque type, which wasn't really made for that.
Now, as far as the registry goes, I have tons of questions for you because I want to get into the fact that this breed actually almost was extinct. But now, before we get to that, do you have to have color to be registered? Is that part of the registry process?
No, not at all. A Knabstrupper horse can be solid colored. The gene that creates the spotting, well, there's actually two genes that work together, but it's very complicated and it's hard to get into here. We could do a whole show on that, though. But the gene that creates the spotting color is a dominant gene. So either it passes or it does not. If it does not pass, then you get a solid horse. But he's no less a Knabstrupper and no less entitled to be branded and registered. In fact, while it's unusual for someone to keep a solid-colored Knabstrupper to stand at stud, there are a few that were just so exceptional in every other way that they went ahead and kept them a stallion and just make sure they breed them to colored mares.
Interesting. So tell us a little bit about, I was reading on your website, which is knabstrippers.com, and you'll have to, I can't say it. knabstrippers.com or knabstrippers.com, that they were actually almost extinct in the 1870s all the way up to like the mid-1900s. So
yeah.
Tell us about that and how that come about, how they fix it.
Well, before we can really understand how that happened, we have to understand that this breed didn't get started until, middle European times with one horse. And by the 1870s, because they started with one horse, they ended up with a pretty small gene pool, as you can imagine. So mm-hmm. by the 1870s, they were starting to be threatened because of the limited gene pool. And then in 1891, the Knabstrugard, which was the name of the villa or the farm where they got started and how they got their name, it had a fire, and it destroyed about 22 of their best breeding horses. So all of a sudden, they've got a limited gene pool anyway, and now they've lost their 22 top breeding horses. So within about 10 years, by about 1900, they were declining so much in number that it was like, okay, we've lost the Knabstrupper. But the breeders in Denmark, these farmers, said, nope, we're not letting it go. This is too wonderful of a horse. And so they started trying to revive the breed and trying to outcross, which ended up starting the whole sport horse type, because what they were outcrossing to were the Danish warm bloods primarily and the Trakaners. And then mm-hmm. in 1971, a breeder named Fried Nielsen brought in 3 Appaloosa stallions to Denmark so that they could infuse some new spotted blood into the breed. Now, before you start thinking, whoa, Appaloosas, that made perfect sense because the American Appaloosa developed directly from the same ancestors that the Knopstrooper developed from in Europe, the spotted horses that were painted on the caves in the area of Europe, excuse me, now known as Spain. So they were putting new spotted blood back in, but they weren't, as long as they didn't import an Appaloosa that was basically a spotted quarter horse, which they did not, they were putting the same blood back in. So by the mid-70s, the breed had been revived and continues to grow today.
So how many are there in the United States right now?
There are less than 100 in all of North America.
Really?
Yes. They're growing every year, and you hear a lot about them, and the reason is not their color, because we've got plenty of colored Appaloosas out there that you don't hear about. But you hear about the Knopstrooper because the few that are out there are doing so well in the show ring, and they prove themselves over and over to be practically born broke. They're just the easiest horses to start under saddle and train that you could ever imagine. So people talk about them. They meet one once, and they say, that's the breed for me.
Okay. I found one.
How exactly
one,
is
Jamie.
Somebody going to meet? Sorry, go ahead.
I found one. I was on shopping, like I usually do during the breed shows, and I found one for sale. It's only $40,000, no problem.
Put it on the American Express.
Yeah, no problem there. I imagine there was only 100 in the country that they wouldn't be cheap. But this one's cute. It's not too spotted, but it's got spots. It's just, you know, it's got a classy amount of spots. And it kind of looks like an overgrown Dalmatian, but apparently very good at dressage. And I think it's for sale in the United States, but I can't say the name because they have really hard names to say. Its last name is Middlesome.
Yeah, I know
First
the
name
horse.
Is,
yeah. yeah, I
is
know
it a good
the horse.
One? Should I buy that
Actually,
one?
Actually, he's a stallion. And so I didn't realize that she had put him on the market. But, yeah, he's a very nice horse. You can find them for a lot less than $40,000, though. Don't let that scare your listeners away. You can find a good, nicely colored, well-bred Knopstrooper, even in North America, for between $15,000 and
$20,000. Oh, okay, well, thank you.
That's about the same as the Frisians we were looking at. So.
Yeah, that's true. So we're talking with Rebecca Pennington from the Knopstrooper Association, and I would imagine that with only 100 horses in the U.S., you know probably every single one of them, right?
Just about, yes, ma'am.
So I was reading online that somebody, actually one of the stallions, is not too far away from me here in Arizona, and he is that the one that did the 70-day testing?
Are you thinking about Colorado Scrubstrip?
Yes, and then there's another one, and he what?
Colorado is no longer in Arizona. He is now in Oklahoma.
I was going to go visit him.
Yeah, he's at Avalon Farm in Tulsa, Oklahoma area. He's in Wynnewood, actually, where he will stand at stud. When he was in Arizona, he was being competed, and the lady who owned him just adored him, but she had several stallions she was trying to show, and she didn't have time to really stand him at stud, so he was sort of, his bloodlines were sort of being lost to the breed. He was here, but she had no time to take him to be collected, and she didn't know anything about standing a stallion at stud. So for the best interest of the stallion, he went to Joss Mottershead and Kathy St. Martin in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so that he can be stood at stud, and he's the one that went through the 70-day test and is now booking a lot of mares for the spring.
So when you say he's booking a lot of mares, but there's only 100 here in the U.S., are you doing a lot of, you know, breeding in other countries, or is he pretty much just breeding mares here, or what type of mares?
He has some offspring in Europe already that he had before he was imported. I don't know if his previous owners and breeders kept any frozen semen on him. I just cannot answer that question. But here he will be bred. Well, thus far, I just talked to Kathy just a few days ago, so this is the most up-to-date information on Colorado. There are a lot of Americans with traditional warm blood mares, including one woman with an elite Hanoverian mare who's booked to him this year, for this spring. So primarily he's being outcrossed to other warm bloods and a few thoroughbreds to produce more sport horse type Knobstroopers. Now those mares, before the babies can be registered as Knobstroopers, those mares will have to be presented for inspection and approval unless they've already been approved by another warm blood registry. If they've been approved by another warm blood registry, the American Knobstrooper Association will accept those scores. But they have to be inspected and approved before their offspring can be registered.
Now, I assume that they're popular for the crossbreeding like that, the outcrossing, because of their personality and their temperament.
Absolutely.
And their easy trainability.
Yeah. Yes, primarily. But then you can't beat that color. I mean, you can't talk about gaining attention in a show ring. And some of we show people kind of like that. On the flip side, there's no place to hide if you screw up.
Well, and you said they're darn good jumpers too, right?
So. They are indeed. Yes. In fact, Colorado was third in place in jumping at the stallion testing against all these, many Holsteiner stallions that have been bred for jumping for, many generations.
Well, by the way, I represent the stallions out there as a horse husband that I think all breeding should be live cover just for their benefit, but I'm just putting that out there.
What? Well, actually, Glenn, let me just say this. If we all did live cover, there would be many, 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 many injured stallions out there because there's plenty of mares that will fire off both back feet just before
they're
covered.
Yeah, don't we know it.
Artificial insemination is for the safety of everyone, including the stallion.
Except for the guy
collecting the stallion. I'm still representing
here. Good Lord, that's not a fun job. I've seen it done. It's you're putting your life in your hands doing that. So, yeah, Glenn, I'm glad that you're the stallion live cover advocate in the United States.
Yes,
we're going to put
am.
That on your business card.
I live in Kentucky, Go ahead.
Are you also opposed to gelding, Glenn?
Yeah, that kind of makes me uncomfortable. So.
I love it. I love it. Well, we
I
sure
think that's
do
a
appreciate.
Different show, though.
That's a whole another show. Oh, Rebecca Pennington from the Knobstrooper Association. It has been awesome having you on. Certainly keep us up to date on everything, everything Knobstrooper in the United States, because I just like saying it. And just so we can spell it for everybody who's sitting in front of their computer right now and is going, what are they saying? I'm going to spell it for you and make sure I'm correct here. It's Knobstrooper. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, Google that. Look for some pictures. You're going to fall in love with this spotted warm blood. So it's very, very cool. And, Rebecca, we sure do appreciate you being on with us.
You're very welcome. It was fun.
All right, we'll
Thanks,
talk
Rebecca.
To you soon.
Oh, bye-bye.
Well, that was a different breed. I can honestly say that I don't think I've ever seen one of those in person.
I cannot believe there's only 100 in the United States. I mean, that's a very small number. I mean, what does she do during the day when she's at work? I'm going to go to work at the Knobstrooper Association, and it's just another day here.
Yeah,
with the 100.
I imagine it's a small office.
Glenn, you don't realize that you met a Knobstrooper.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The farm in Maryland where I kept Hazel bred Knobstroopers.
Really?
Yeah.
That one that was set back the road there?
Yeah, and she had an approved mare. Now, the approved Knobstrooper mare was also a registered American Appaloosa, but she had several Knobstrooper foals that you met when you'd come and visit Hazel and pet their little noses. Yeah, they look to most people, I'm sure they just look like another Appaloosa. They just don't realize they're looking at a Knobstrooper.
Wow, I didn't know. See,
you didn't know.
Janie, I take that back. I have met one.
Well, you know what? I think the way you can tell the difference between a Knobstrooper and an Appaloosa is that by looking at these pictures, Knobstroopers actually have tails. Hair on their tails.
You're absolutely right.
Poor little Appaloosas just can't grow a tail.
No tail.
By the way, Jennifer, I like doing this breed stuff. I think that it's fun. We should continue doing it because there's just so many cool breeds out there that, you know, it's just fun to talk about them and to, you know, to get to talk. She was great, too. I mean, she was a good representative of the Knobstroopers.
Our listeners out there.
We do have one request. Can the next breed be easier to say?
We'll go for it. Sure. Well, maybe our listeners out there who have nifty and interesting breeds that maybe the rest of us haven't heard about can drop us a little note on Facebook and go, hey, check out my favorite.
That'd be great.
And you can call us today. It's last day to call to win the big prizes. You can call us 347-637-3238. We'll have some time here to take your call, so definitely give us a call to be qualified. And tomorrow on the show, we will pick the winners of the $500 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections and the Vespucci Bridle from World Equestrian Brands. Now it is time to take a little bit of a break for Chris and the news. And then, Janie, listen closely after the news. I have something very special for you. You'll know what I mean after the news.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. 24 horses have died at a horse rescue facility in Footville, Wisconsin, despite the owner and fire department's attempts to save them. A few horses killed were privately owned. 7 horses at the Humane Organization Rescuing and Saving Equine Establishment escaped the barn fire, which was believed to have been caused by an electrical problem. Owners Cindy and Jim Bondowski, who run the horse rescue and adoption facility, are now in need of help in repairing the 45-store barn destroyed in the blaze. The organization takes abused, neglected, abandoned, or slaughter-bound horses and rehabs them before putting them up for adoption. The organization takes abused, neglected, abandoned, or slaughter-bound horses and rehabs them before putting them up for adoption. The organization still has 15 horses that survived the fire or were outside at the time. Charleston Police Department in South Carolina may soon be without its mounted unit as part of planned budget cuts being proposed by Chief of Police Greg Mullen. The city currently owns 6 horses and has 3 dedicated officers on its mounted patrol unit. If the council votes to eliminate the program, Mullen said the horses will be phased off the streets over the first 3 months of 2011. The officers will be assigned to other units. Shutting down the horse patrol would initially save the city around $125,000 next year. It also would signal the loss of another mounted unit, which in the case of Charleston has been in operation since 1978. In its heyday, the unit numbered 10 officers and 12 horses. The United States Dressage Federation will present its Lifetime Achievement Award to Jack Kimball and Judith Noon on December 3rd at the Salute Gala and Annual Award Banquet during the Adequin USDF National Convention in Jacksonville, Florida. Both recipients have shown a lifetime of dedication to the U.S. Dressage Federation through volunteering and developing programs, projects, and committees that have contributed to its mission. The University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine's new Bolton Center in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, is launching an equine home nursing care program. The program, which will be known as EquiAssist, begins on December 6th and will provide compassionate care at home. It is believed to be the first of its kind in the U.S. Margaret Hamilton Dupre, a lifelong horsewoman in Chester County, Pennsylvania, was instrumental in guiding the design of the program and made a magnanimous gift to see it realized. The EquiAssist program will offer high-quality clinical and post-hospitalization nursing services to equine patients at their home, barn, or layup facility. Wound management, eye care, intravenous medications, and other complex treatments are examples of services that will be provided by EquiAssist professionals. Laminitis patients will benefit from pain management monitoring and nutritional consultation. The expertise of nursing staff will allow for early recognition of an emergent problem and serve as a communication bridge between the owner, primary care veterinarian, farrier, and New Bolton Center doctors. Hospital stays at the New Bolton Center have decreased from an average of 7 days in 2006 to approximately 4.5 days in 2009, a situation that makes the need for more skilled home care even more compelling. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders. I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls and
that
there
song.
You go. We didn't make you cry this week. Did that make you cry? I was trying to get you to cry.
No, I didn't cry. Are you kidding? That is the ultimate theme song for every single horse chick anywhere. I mean, you go, like, when you're feeling down, you go to the barn, you saddle up. What is it with girls and horses? I love it. That song was introduced to me by a woman named Tess from Horse South. And now she has a blog, Horse South blog, and she gave me that CD, and I listened to it over and over and over again. Love it, love it, love it. And she's going to be on with us at Christmas, right?
Yeah, that's Templeton Thompson. Of course, if you want to buy that song, just go to templetonthompson.com. She's kind enough to let us play some of her music here during the Christmas time season. So hop on over to templetonthompson.com, and she's going to be making a special appearance here for our special Christmas show. So we're looking forward to that, too. But we have a caller here I want to take, and I think I know who this is. And Mary, are you there?
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Mary. This is Mary Lawrenson, and she is a co-host on the Dressage Radio Show with Chris at times, and she's a wonderful up-and-coming dressage rider for the United States out of my old hometown in north of Massachusetts there. Well, I'm glad you called.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I've been listening to you guys, and I love the show. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I have to ask how you are. Mary took a bit of a spill, and how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm hanging out here in Massachusetts in my neck brace. So I'm doing I'm doing as well as I possibly can. But yeah, I had the accident 2 weeks from yesterday, which was not fun.
Now tell us what happened. What were you doing at the time?
Yeah,
I was actually working one of our young horses, a 4-year-old that is with us in training, and a lovely horse. I absolutely love the horse, and I've been working her now off the lunge for 2 months, and just learning things. We're taking baby steps, and just this one particular day, we were working on the canter, and she was feeling fresh and decided to really express herself. And I think at that point she started to express herself by leaping through the air and then decided that she wanted to continue with it in a bit of a nasty way and began bucking and rearing and with the intent of getting me off at that point. And it felt like something stopped, but it just continued. And finally she took just one leap that I couldn't sit, and I went flying and landed directly on my head. I was very lucky, though. I was lucky. My mother, Joy Bonick, was down there lifeguarding when it happened, as we do that with all the young horses. There's always someone watching. So I was fortunate for that. So she was right there. I didn't lose consciousness. We caught the horse right away and went up to the house, and I actually felt okay. If anything, I just felt like I had a bad muscle strain in my neck and shoulder area. And my mother, father, and I debated whether or not it was really necessary to go to the hospital, because I really didn't feel so bad. And, you know, you always feel silly going to the emergency room unless, you know, if you see something that is wrong.
Bleeding.
Exactly.
You got
exactly.
Bone sticking out.
Yeah. I guess the thing that was the most alarming, though, which really did send us to the hospital, is when I examined my helmet after the fall, it had actually split. So that was a good sign that, okay, this is serious. We should go.
It's darn good you were wearing your helmet.
Yes. And, you know, because of this episode, I mean, I was always a strong advocate for helmet wear, but it's hit very close to home this time, and I can't say enough about helmet safety and how important it is for not only young riders like myself, but professionals, adult, amateurs, everyone, anyone who sits on a horse. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're on a young horse, you think you're on a safe horse, an old horse. It doesn't matter, and anything can happen at any time.
So I have to ask your opinion. I mean, I guess I probably just figured out the answer, but this week or this month is all the area meetings for the USCF, USEA, and Hunter Jumper Association as well. And one of the eventing rule changes that's being proposed is that you wear your helmet every time mounted, and that goes for hunt caps and top hats too. So top hats will be eliminated if this rule change goes through. And what do you think about that? It's tradition versus safety.
It is. And to be honest, I have, now that I've been riding in the FEI ring for the last few years, you know, I like the way that a top hat looks, and I think everybody does. And like you said, it's the tradition that we're all afraid to leave, because it is a beautiful thing, and it really completes the package in the show ring. But I think it's coming to a point now. There's this new wave, and people are starting to realize, well, I think that tradition is less important than safety, and I think that's probably a good thing, a good change. I've definitely seen it after the terrible accident that Courtney King Dye went through last year. That sent shockwaves through the dressage community, and you were seeing riders that you never saw wearing helmets. And I think that was, unfortunately, that's what it took, but it did create a positive change in our community. for everybody else that started putting a helmet on. So again, it is so hard to say goodbye to that tradition that is, again, just is so special. But I think that we as humans and our safety is more special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mary,
Amen,
I saw pictures on your blog of the helmet, and it is incredible when you take a look. We'll post it on our show notes as well, or you can see it at marydressage.blogspot.com. I mean, you know, you would have been not only in an Elizabethan collar, you would have been in a head cast. I mean,
Yeah, and that's exactly what the doctor said, too. You know, we asked, okay, well, what would have happened if Mary wasn't wearing her helmet? And they said, well, what you see on your helmet, that would have been your head. And that was definitely a scary realization. And I, again, owe my life, I think, to my helmet. So it's a good investment, especially a good helmet. It's so worth it.
Well, Mary, we sure do appreciate you calling in and spreading the word. Of course, your website is cadencefarminc.com and also marydressage.blogspot.com if you want to follow her on Twitter or YouTube. And we sure do appreciate you calling in and being an advocate for the helmet, because we both sure are.
Of course. Great. Yeah, it's good to hear that you're siding on helmet safety as well.
I do
Thank
like
you,
that
Mary.
Top
I
hat, but man,
calling.
You got to wear your helmet.
You do.
Yeah,
it's
Mary's
tough.
Helmet here in this picture is evidence of that right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Mary.
You're very welcome. It was great to speak with you both.
Bye.
Well, that was Mary Lawrenson. We appreciate her giving us a call today about that. We have calls piled up here.
Yeah,
they're
all trying to get in and win the prizes for the month. This is the last day to qualify for that $500 gift card from World Equestrian Brands, the Bridal. So Equestrian Collections giving the $500 gift card. So people are piling up. So who you want to talk to?
Let's talk to Joel was next, I think. And Joel, I like this. I think this might be our first guy caller. Hi, Joel, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
You're our first guy caller, I think. I appreciate you calling.
Are you doing the first guy caller of the day or of the year or what?
Well, you're our first guy caller of this week. I can't remember if we had a guy caller this week. But you're
Robert. Robert called in.
Well, Robert called this week? Okay, so sorry, Robert. Joel, you're from Tennessee, right?
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
you're a
sir,
horse husband?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, sure am.
So what are you calling for? Are you calling to win the prizes for your wife? Is that what's going on?
You bet. It would make a great Christmas present, I think. She said, you're the best horse husband. Call on your way to work. And I said, yes, ma'am.
Now, what do you do as a horse husband that makes you the best horse husband, besides calling our show?
I don't know. I think everything. If I'm not working, I'm helping her with horses. We have 14 horses, and I get all the hay for the horses, so that's quite a bit. Plus, I help her every weekend.
Aw, yeah, that's so sweet. All right, well, you are entered for the $500, the Vespucci Bridal. So you are entered, and, you know, if you win, then you definitely will be the best horse husband of the week. That's for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you, folks. Take care.
Hey, thanks, Joel. Thanks for listening.
Coming your way if you win.
Okay, great.
That's more than brownie points. It's $500 right there.
Thanks, Joel.
All right. Thank you.
Like, I'll take that. What's up? Okay, let's see. Let's go to, we've got Jen's mom, Pat, on the phone, and she wants to talk about her favorite breed. So how you doing, Jen's mom?
Thank you. All right.
Oh, I think.
Hey, Pat, she's
there?
Still listening.
I'll take that. Okay.
I think we missed her. I'm going to put her, we'll put her back,
put her back
on hold, and we'll go back to the next one here.
Now, listen, when you guys call, you have to listen through the phone and not through the computer, because we have a delay, just in case you say a bad word.
So next up, we have Katie from MN, which I'm assuming is Minnesota. Are you there, Katie?
Yeah, I'm here. And
how
that
you
is
doing?
Minnesota. I'm good.
Oh, good.
How are
good.
You?
Great. We appreciate you giving
calling...
us a call. Are you the Katie from Facebook?
I am the Katie from Facebook.
Okay, because you post a lot on our page. We appreciate that.
I do, and it's hard for me to sneak in a phone call in the morning, but I thought I needed to today for a couple reasons. One, of course, to get entered in your great contest, but also, and I could have posted this on Facebook as well, but it's not necessarily a rare, well, it is a rare breed, but more people have heard of them. But I think that it would be great to explore some of the trotting breed horses that have gated lines in them. I have just kind of recently connected with somebody who has gated Morgans, which in the Morgan breed, gated tendencies are discouraged, but she does some great things with hers, and there's a whole line of these horses that people really get into and promote the gated horses. And I mean, I just know the one person, but I'd love to hear more about it. And there's gated Appaloosas, there's all kinds of these breeds that have different gated lines in them, and we don't hear much about them.
Well,
that's
do
true.
Some
I mean,
research
hear...
and send us an email about it. Or I'm sure you will. I know you will. So just try to figure out some information about it and send us to it, and we'll dig a little bit deeper and see what we can come up with.
I sure can do some research and see what I can find.
Yeah, for
that'll
sure.
Be great.
We'll, we'll try.
Well, thank you very
much,
and
great.
I appreciate you. I appreciate all your posts on Facebook, too. You've been an avid Facebooker for us, and we appreciate you calling in.
Well, thank you.
Stay warm.
All right, thanks, Katie. Yep.
Oh, we're trying.
All right, that was Katie from Minnesota up there in chilly Minnesota. And I think there's some more callers here lining up. You want to try, if we don't do this, I'm going to be in big trouble. So you want to try Jen's mom one more time?
Let's do
hey,
it.
Hey, Pat, are you
Jen's
there?
Jen's mom.
I'm here.
Oh, there she is.
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for calling in. Now, it says here, Jennifer wrote that you want to talk about your favorite breed. Let me guess that now.
Yes.
You've owned a few, though, so it's going to be tough. You have owned a few breeds. Quarter horse?
Nope.
Thoroughbred.
Oh, okay.
And what I think you should talk about is not quite a breed, but more a type. And I've always called her a Pennsylvania Dutch miniature warm blood.
What is that?
It's a pony that looks like somebody shrank a warm blood. Short, stocky, big feet, sturdy legs, stubborn like a pony, but that's what they look like.
And you have one of these?
I had one of these. Her name was Little Bits.
Yes, we had a few of those.
A little bit of a horse.
Was this a pony Jennifer grew up with or anything?
No, she hunted her, though.
Yeah, it was actually a pony that everybody grew up with. When we were doing
true.
Lessons at the barn, everybody was on that pony. So it's actually more a pony than Jennifer's mom grew up with.
Can you hear
there's some laughter in the background.
Yes, yes. Well, I used to do dressage, and I would come down to, you know, the center line and do it the whole nine yards, and the judges would look at this little critter and say, what kind of pony is that? And I would tell them, it was a Pennsylvania Dutch miniature warm blood. And they would nod sagely and say, from Lancaster? And I would say yes, and everybody would smile, and we'd give the pony a treat, and off we'd go. But
so they thought you had some super fancy breed.
Yeah, because after that I rode a quarter horse. I mean a real quarter horse with, like, muscles like a quarter horse, definitely a linebacker. And the judges would say, is that a quarter horse? And it was all training. Patience. Hours and hours and days and weeks of improving a walk and a stride so that a quarter horse could move the way a thoroughbred does.
Isn't that amazing what we try to get these horses to do? Well, listen, Jen's mom, Pat, calling in about her favorite breed. Thank you so much for calling. And, you know, technically, I guess since you're not an employee, you are registered for the $500 Equestrian Collections Shopping Spree or the Vespucci Bridal from World Equestrian Brands. So your name's in the hat.
Oh, dear. If I win,
and I know a daughter,
be
you
sure
can give
it's
to.
Collusion.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pat.
Well, listen, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was Jen's mom. Well, your dad has called in. Now Jen's mom has called in. So we're getting through the families here one at a time.
No kidding.
And, you know, we have another caller here who I think listeners to the Horse Radio Network are going to recognize. Hi, Chris Stafford from the Dressage Eventing and Jumping Radio Show.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Morning, Chris.
And, of course, let me not forget the news here every day on Horses and Divorce. Let me not forget that.
Yes. Better not.
Well, Chris, you're calling
just
in.
Just my small contribution, Glenn, to the network.
Oh, okay. Now, you are calling in, I think, to talk about something that you did last week that was very special.
Well, yes, you know, we started this series of inspirational people a few weeks ago, Glenn, on Dressage Radio Show, the Jumping Radio Show, and the Eventing Radio Show. But last week, we actually had a week of them. You know, I've been doing them intermittently and putting them on the shows, not in any particular order. But last week, because it was Thanksgiving week, we had the whole week of inspirational legends in the sport. They were on each of the shows. Of course, Jimmy Wofford was on the Eventing Radio Show. And I think our friend Jamie here might have enjoyed that one.
He's my hero.
And Kathy Kushner on the Jumping Radio Show, which I don't know if you listen to all of these, Glenn, but she was just an amazing woman and did so much more beyond the sport. And I think this is really what we're trying to portray with this series, Glenn, is all the other things that make up these people. Not so much, you know, people that know the sport, know what they won, know their equestrian achievements, but there's so much more to them. You know, with Hilda Gurney on Dressage too, I mean, she's a legend in the sport, and they have so much more to offer, so much more, many more stories, of course, from having such a fabulous life, and not just in the sport, well beyond it. And if you listen to the series, especially with Kathy Kushner and all the other things she did out of the saddle, which is absolutely amazing, and what an inspiration.
And, you know, well, I think, too, one of the things that I like about that series that you're doing is so many of these people have done interviews before, and they've been for articles, they've been for magazines, things like that. Almost, there's virtually none of them that have done audio where you can hear their own voices telling their own story. And that's one of the unique things that we can offer here at the Horse Radio Network. And I love the way that you're doing these interviews. It's probably going to be one of the only audio records we have of some of these people going forward.
Well, I think that's right, Glenn. You know, especially when, you know, we have the privilege of talking to people like Bill Steinkraus, you know, William Steinkraus, who was a legend in, and I know that's an overused word, but he truly was and continues to be. And he now is an octogenarian and doesn't do many interviews at all. So we were really, truly honored to have the privilege of taping that recording with him. And as you know, Glenn, I'm taking a different angle with these interviews, and we're talking more about their life's experiences, their values, and who inspired them, and, you know, the many, many parts of someone like Bill Steinkraus and Jimmy Wofford and Hilda Gurney. These people have lived a very full and very impressive life, and there's a lot of things, obviously, that make up a person, and it's well beyond the show arena.
Legends of the game kind of thing, where you get to dig deep and you get to really, you know, reach inside that person and find out who they really are. And that's what I love about these. And I have not had the opportunity yet with the holidays to go listen to the Jimmy Wofford one. So Jimmy Wofford, of course, the eventing legend and author of some amazing books on horse training. You know, tell us a little bit about each one of these that we can look forward to hearing about in the shows, Chris.
Well, I think they are all so unique, Jamie, that they all have an amazing story of what inspired them, who you influenced them in the early part of their career, their childhood and their upbringing and where they grew up. And, you know, maybe they started in one discipline and then changed to another. Jimmy had a very, very strong military background, for example. You know, his family way back were very involved in the military, and that strongly influenced his principles and his integrity and his morals. And I think that, you know, tells you a lot about the man. I mean, Jimmy is an extremely popular individual in the sport and well beyond. And I think this is what, you know, speaks to the Horse Radio Network mission as well, of course, is that we are uniting the horse world one show at a time. And so many of these people, as Glenn will tell you, he carries all the statistics on these shows, of how many people, Glenn, listen to not just one show, they listen to another. And, it, you know, they may have heard of other legends in other sports, but they didn't really get to know them. And I think that's what we can do with this series, is give them a taste and an experience of what these other people bring to the horse world in general.
You know, it's perfect that you mentioned that, Chris, simply because we had a caller this week say that she listens to our show, Horses in the Morning, then she goes back and she listens to the dressage show and the western show. And I thought it was just such a cool combination, a dressage rider going to listen to the western show, because she likes the southern kind of flair and the values that they have and the family. And then you go to the dressage show and you get to hear about, you know, your people that inspire you. And then you get to come here and listen to Glenn play ridiculous music.
Well, you noticed there, Glenn and Jamie, at the top there, you said they listen to the dressage radio show and then the western radio show. So these listeners are very discerning.
I don't know, Chris. I probably wouldn't go there if I were you, because as I see it, I'm just looking it up now, I think Western Radio Show is still in the lead for the number of fans on Facebook.
Uh-oh.
But you see, we're very discerning. It's all about quality on the dressage radio show.
Wow!
You know,
I think there's a throwdown there.
We're not.
Although
so
I will
about
say, I will say, Chris, that as far as quantity is concerned, because, you know, some of us do believe quantity is a good thing, like our advertisers. But the quantity of the dressage radio show has increased, and you've gotten closer to the western radio show now.
Well, you know,
so
we're not competing. We're so focused on content that we weren't absolutely focusing on the numbers.
I wish that Alan was listening right now, because I think he would probably call in and have a little throwdown for you.
Oh, well, you know, bring it on, Alan. You know, it's such a different world, you know, and there is such thing as cowboy dressage, don't forget.
Oh, yeah,
well,
you know what? We found that. The other day, the Cowboy or the Western Dressage Association. Who knew?
Now, let me point out something to you, Glenn, and just notice that the European flair and the dressage flair come out when making excuses. And they're not excuses. They're, here's why we don't want to do that. Because we have content. And we have, you know, it's all about, not about the numbers, Glenn. Sounds like an excuse.
Go steady here, Jamie. Steady.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate you calling in and talking to us about the Inspirational People series. They're all up there now. Go to dressageradio.com, eventingradio.com, or jumpingradio.com, or you can just go to horseradionetwork.com and find all of the shows there. They're well worth listening to, and they're all up there right now. Chris, thank you so much. Good luck in your shows this week, and you're heading out to the Dressage Association meeting, aren't you?
Oh, I certainly am. I have the honor of emceeing the gala and awards banquet and the symposium this weekend at the Dressage Federation in Florida. And don't forget, you know, you can always join our fan page on Facebook. You know, we'll take you. We'll take you on our Dressage Radio Show fan page on Facebook.
Hey, you know, I think you have a perfect bully pulpit to try and get more fans on that Facebook page this weekend. You can knock Alan's socks off.
Oh yeah, if you're gonna be there, you'll come back with thousands.
Yeah, we'll see about. Well, thanks guys for having me on the show, and the best
All
of
right.
luck.
See you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
That was Chris Stafford, the host of all three of those shows. We appreciate her calling in. It is a really neat series, and it is definitely worth taking a look at and a listen to, rather.
I was going to say it's extremely educational as well. That's what's really cool about her shows is that, yeah, we get silly over here, but she gets down into the depths of it and, digs in and finds out stuff that you may never have thought of. So, really, I love her shows. I think they're great.
Well, this half hour is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator or other Innovator family vaccines. You can find their website at, I'm looking for it here because I don't have it there, at PfizerAH.com. Well, Jamie, that about wraps up today. Tomorrow morning, you know what it is. Tomorrow morning, we will be making the announcement of who won those two grand prizes for the month.
And yeah, we've got, of course. Yeah, World Equestrian Brands is going to come on and help us pick the winner for the Vespucci Bridle and Reins. And Equestrian Collection is going to jump on here with us and give us a number of a person for the $500 holiday shopping spree. So, man, it's going to be a fun day tomorrow. I love giving stuff away.
Well, especially that kind of stuff. I mean, $500 shopping spree for most people right now, unless you're doing very well, $500 shopping spree is a big deal. And a bridal worth $600 is a pretty big deal, too. So we're looking forward to doing that on tomorrow's show. So listen live tomorrow morning. And, of course, you can listen to all the shows, as we just mentioned, on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And you can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. There was conversations going on over there this morning. And then we are on Twitter at Horse Radio. And I want to thank all of our guests today, too. We had Kathleen on, and congratulations, Kathleen. You know, we talked about the Knabs Drooper. Rebecca was kind enough to join us for that. And Mary, I wanted to thank Mary for calling in and telling us her story. I hadn't talked to her since the accident, so it was good to get an update with her.
Yeah, and of course, if you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded one on our website, affiliate website, to iTunes. What's really cool, Glenn, is I went on to iTunes, and I searched Horses in the Morning, and I became a subscriber. So you just click subscribe, and they send you, every time you log on to iTunes, they send you all the shows. So you never need to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning. We're giving prizes away, 9 Eastern, dressage training, and horse health with thehorse.com, so don't miss it. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Be safe.